You're listening to Irish Radio Canada, Home and Abroad, and one of the interesting changes that has happened over the last number of years, and this is recognised in Croke Park in Dublin, and that is that the fastest growing area for Gaelic clubs, GAA clubs, is in Vancouver. And this has been going on for a number of years now, and this is an indication of the influx of the Irish into Vancouver. There was a period when Toronto was getting everybody, and there was a period when there was going to Montreal and a variety of other places. But over the last number of years, Vancouver has blossomed with an influx of Irish. And as a result, I don't know how many clubs it was. Now, the last time I chatted to somebody out there about that, I think there were about 7 or 8 clubs. I now have the opportunity to chat with Ronan Dean. Ron is originally from the north side of Cork, and he is now settled in Vancouver. I understand he spent a little bit of time in Calgary or sometime in Calgary, but is now in Vancouver. And we're going to, excuse me, we're going to talk to him about the, I'll be editing.
Bless you.
We'll be talking to him about the Canadian National Championships, the GAA Games, which are taking place in Burnaby and Vancouver over the Labor Day weekend. Ronan, Ta Fáil Sé Ró, it's great to have you here.
Really excited to talk to you about this crazy big tournament. We're getting really excited. We're itching to go, and we're into the last 3 days before it.
So, Ronan, before we get the tournament, as I said, the growth in the GAA out in Vancouver, how many clubs are you at now?
Yeah, we're at, you were one shy, we're at 9 clubs now. And Vancouver ISSC is the oldest club, and that was founded 50 years ago. I touched down here almost halfway through the life of Vancouver. I touched down in 2001. And at that time, I joked with my then girlfriend, she's my wife now, I joked with her about how there didn't seem to be any gas scene here. I had come from Perth in Australia, and in Perth, Australia, there was, you know, a similar sized town, a west coast town, a city, you know, a vibrant city isolated from the rest of the country. And I said, surely it'll be the same in Vancouver. Perth had 7 or 8 clubs. And then I come to Vancouver and there was barely one club. It was a hodgepodge of lads, great lads, but the GAA was not as organized, as it had been in Australia, for example. And then I connected with them, and you know, what I joke is there were 7 or 8 of us playing GAA, in Vancouver at that time. And now there's 9 clubs, you know, so. In 25 years, it's gone from that. It took a long time, from 2000, well, the whole time I was here until about 2014, it was a one club city. You know, people had talked about it, but it was a big step to do. And when you consider that Vancouver was isolated and Calgary and Edmonton were our closest, Canadian neighbors, those are long distances for the people listening. It's an hour and a half flight to either Edmonton or Calgary, and that's a flight. It's a longer drive, so you can't run over every Sunday and play a game against your the teams in your division. In 2014, Fraser Valley Gaels was founded. That's the second club. They celebrated their 10th year anniversary with gusto this year, And since then, and really only in the last three years, there's been an explosion. I because I was in Perth, I had this thing I used to say to people that if you got off the plane in Vancouver and you were told there was 20 clubs here, you'd believe it because you don't know and it's a big city. Why wouldn't there be 20 clubs here? And, you know, for years I was saying that when there was only one club here, then there was two. The two enjoyed the games together, but it was only two clubs. And then it started ballooning. The funny thing about the clubs is they're either hurling clubs or they're football clubs. So we have 4 football clubs and 4 hurling clubs. And when I say football, I mean men's and ladies' Gaelic football. And when I say hurling, I mean hurling and camogie. And there's no dual clubs And that's a Canadian phenomenon, I believe. I think maybe Edmonton and Calgary are the ones that do both. But anyway, exploded in Vancouver, nine clubs. The latest is a youth club, Lekela, and that's exploded as well. You know, for years there was a handful of kids, but very little for them to latch on to. Now Lekela club starts in the winter, starts in February and goes until June. And this summer, significantly, they met up with Calgary kids and played a little tournament up in Kelowna. So, you know, even the youth is, the youth is bigger than it was, than the whole of the GA in Vancouver was when I got here 25 years.
And Ronan, for that to happen, it requires an influx of what would be younger people, because, you know, if you happen to arrive here and you're 50, you're not going to be playing GAA and that. So the influx of the young Irish, and we know with the patterns of emigration that what tends to happen is one will follow another. And they also, it tends to be regional. So, you know, if you get someone from West Cork, the buddies are going to come. And likewise, if they're coming from Waterford. So where have you guys, have you seen them come from everywhere?
As a Cork man, I get a kick out of, there's a bunch of lads from the Rockies, from Black Rock, that are influencing the hurling in a big way here right now. But then again, I see team sheets and I see Cork and Kilkenny and Clare and Galway and Limerick lads playing hurling. But then I see Monaghan lads, Dublin lads, Donegal, Carlow. I see funny names, funny counties showing up
About the funny counties.
Oh, well, you know what I mean? I'm from Cork, so we think everybody's funny. But it is fascinating to see that. You are right. They definitely congregate together, certain groups. Interestingly, when I was in Western Canada first, I followed the oil. I came to Vancouver. There was headlining work here. So I followed the oil, went to Calgary and Alberta. And for about 10 years there, that was a more appealing proposition than Vancouver. There was a lot of work there, lots of engineering and construction people coming from Ireland. So it was a good place to go and make some coin. And people did that. And the oil and gas has had many ups and downs. And of course, 2014-15, it went down and it's still coming back. But Vancouver has become a hotbed. BC Hydro is the example I tell people. So that's the utility in British Columbia. And if you call into the offices there, every second desk is an Irish person. Metro Vancouver is the utility. People in key roles there are Irish people. And funnily enough, I got one of my neighbors complained about smoke coming out of my chimney, and I got an air quality letter from Metro Vancouver. And it was signed off by a girl with the last name E. Dunequin or something like that. And I got a kick out of that. But there's so many Irish. It is ridiculous. You'll literally be walking down the street in Vancouver and you'll see somebody walking along with a hurley tapping a ball on it. It's very, very strange. Vancouver's a hotbed. Micheál Martin was out for St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And he was asked a question. And he said that he lives in an estate in Ballinlough in Cork. There's 24 houses there. And he said there's 11 kids that are in Vancouver from that block. So, you know, I see it a lot. My nephews and nieces have been out here. A lot of people just come out for the summer. Some people come out for a year visa. But it is. There is work out here now, and the Canadian government sees the quality of the education from Ireland and the skills that people bring here. So, in construction and engineering, lots of people are coming to Vancouver. They hear about it being a place where you can ski in the afternoon and swim in the swim in the morning, ski in the afternoon. Right, you know, right. you the water's a bit cold, but you can do that. Play golf and then ski. So it is a lifestyle place, and it's really appealing. And If you do ever happen to be out here, just walk along the beaches, along Stanley Park or English Bay, and you will see GAA jerseys everywhere.
Right. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been out there. But let's switch and talk about the national championships coming up. You've a major event lined up, that mammoth organisation.
It is. It's enormous. It's the second time the champions have been held. We've been talking, in some guys, we've been talking about it for years, and it just hadn't happened. Our big brothers down in North America, the North American GA, they had the tournament that everybody wanted to compete in, and that was a bigger appeal. And if you think about a Vancouver or a Calgary or even a Toronto, we're very far apart from each other, so going to an established tournament was more appealing. In fairness, folks like Brian Farmer and Sean Hart and others were always pushing this this idea, and thank goodness in 2022 it happened for the first time in Toronto. And you know, when I was asked to support this event here, I almost did it as a dare to Toronto, and because a piece of me didn't think that Toronto would travel, and you know, I have to say that that's a chip on my shoulder I got to get over. But I tell you, Toronto has shown me, and they're coming in huge numbers. Very excited to welcome them, and it's going to be really good. There was 10 Toronto clubs showed up at the last tournament in 2022. It was a home tournament, and there's 8 clubs represented at this tournament, which is just incredible. But what I'm even more excited about is every senior team in Vancouver is playing, so that's great. Western Canada, they're all coming. But we have 4 teams from Eastern Canada, so we represented now. We have Ottawa, Montreal, Quebec, and just at the last minute, we have a few players coming from Halifax Gales. So we'll have Nova Scotia and Vancouver Island represented in this tournament. So that's 2 different oceans represented. And then we have a special invite went out to Camogie clubs in America, and Liberty Gales are coming from New York. So we don't know what to expect. We've got 90 plus games on the cards this weekend. You know, almost 50 teams, junior B, junior A, intermediate, senior. Like I chuckle about that. Like I come from a time where, you know, it was just whoever was playing whoever showed up was who was playing. But we've got up to 4 grades in each code, and Camogie ladies football, hurling and Gaelic football. It's monumental. The competitions committee have been pulling their hair out and trying to shuffle things around to make it a meaningful tournament for people. But it really is. Everybody's getting at least 2 games, probably 3 games in most cases. And if you go all the way, you're going to be really tired come Sunday night, but you'll have a trophy in your hand, or you'll be bitterly disappointed and have to show up at the next championship.
So running an event like this, as you say, you have people coming in Halifax, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, a huge number of people, and the cost of traveling is going to be a burden on those coming in. And internal travel, you can travel to Ireland cheaper than you can travel to Vancouver. So I presume that the Irish in Vancouver stepped up to the plate, and you're able to billet people as quite a lot, or they're having to go and find hotels.
They're having to go and find hotels. So it is an expense. It's a massive expense, no question. It was funny. The 2022 tournament was coming out the back end of COVID, so there was some deals to be had. And there's a joke in BC that BC means bring cash. And it's really expensive. And we had relationships with a number of hotels in Vancouver. But the relationship only allowed us to block off rooms. We didn't get any deal. Irony is, they are deals, but it's just really expensive. You know, you're looking at almost $300 a night. So you know, on top of the fact that I'm delighted everybody's come, I know the expense that they've made, and the organizing committee here really respects that and is trying to make it worth their while. Something I'll say, and you know, I'm sure I'll be challenged on it. It's worth it, right? Mm-hmm. If you get to play these games, if you think about it, you get to play a national championship in a country that you've decided to come and visit. And the flip side of this, I've watched some of the games and I've talked to some people. Some people are playing on the best teams they've ever played with in their lives, you know, and it's no offense to the teams that they come from, wherever they were, but mm-hmm. you get this bunch of people who are you know, trying to make a better life for themselves, and they go off to wherever they go. And right now, Vancouver is such a melting pot. It's fascinating to see how good the hurling is. And I'm very curious to see the reactions of, you know, we have the president of the GA, we have the chair of Ulster, we have the president of the Camogie Association and the president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association coming out. And I'm very curious to see what they think of the play that's going on. I know that when I watch the junior standard right now, it's head and shoulders better than the standard of football that I used to play 20 years ago. And you know, even in the last 10 years, but you know, it's just the kids are conditioned now. They're bigger, stronger, faster. And, you know, so yes, it is an expense, but it's Canada. It's always been an expense. And, I remember in 2003 and 2004, Edmonton and Calgary used to fly across to the Montreal Power Screen Sevens. And, you know, we were begging people to come back, and we were being told it was too expensive. But the Edmonton and Calgary guys wanted to play against other teams, and it was worth it. Teams have gone to Sevens tournaments in San Diego, and that's fine. But if you want to know that you're going to have good football or hurling or camogie or Gaelic football next week or next month or next year, you have to look after it at home. And, you know, yes, it is expensive, no question. The teams will be doing fundraising, but it's the kind of thing you want to spend your money on.
And I guess the other thing that would be interesting for the presidents of the various sections to see, and I'm curious, that the number of non-Irish born who now are in the GAA across the country, because I know here in Ottawa, there's quite a few because of the schools program that the Ottawa Gaels have in place for years, that there are players out there who are, who hardly have a drop of Irish blood in them, but they have adopted the game and love it.
So, interesting you say Ottawa. I think the same is the case in Calgary and Edmonton, more so than it is the case in Vancouver right now. And I think Toronto suffered something, not suffered, but it's a similar situation in Toronto as it was in Vancouver. So where you have hotbeds and where there are lots of Irish coming, and the teams tend to be Irish. Where you have less Irish, then the Irish get quite imaginative in bringing people along, and they do things like they go to schools, and they do things like they encourage their pals or their workmates, or they'll join a baseball team and ask some, you know, say, hey, look, you've got a good eye on you. Do you want to try hurling? So you'll get a bit of that. Right now in Vancouver, it is definitely, you'll definitely see mostly. We do see a bit of a pickup in camogie, and we do see a pickup in ladies Gaelic football rather than in men's Gaelic football and hurling. That's not to say it doesn't happen, but, you know, Van Isle is in Victoria, and you definitely hear more Canadian accents on that team. And maybe it's something to do with the government towns, Ottawa and Victoria. But Van Isle from Victoria, they do have, you know, they probably have 30, 40% of their players are speak with Canadian accents and born and raised here, you know. So the kids program that's going on at Lekela, well, hopefully we get some out of that. My daughter, for example, is heading off to Victoria to go to college next week, actually, in the middle of that tournament. And, you know, the family are trying to work out the logistics of that. But she's heading off to Victoria. She tried Gaelic football when she was a kid in hurling. No interest in it, honestly, Austin, which was to my chagrin. But but she loved basketball, and now she's going off to Victoria, and she'll be able to do pick up basketball at the college. But I've been telling her to check in with the Van Isle people, because there's a motley crew of people that are set up already there. And, you know, it's a team, and you can't beat a team when you go to a new town.
And I know that non-Irish are fascinated, particularly with hurling. You know, that there's no game like it. And yet I'll never forget watching, going down to Toronto for a game many years ago, and people beside me saying, what do you mean they're grabbing the ball out of the bare hands? And there's no pads.
No pads. I used to go around the schools myself, and I'd bring the bag of hurleys and the slitters. I'd have one slitter and 20 hurleys, and I'd have 20 footballs, and the kids would walk straight past the footballs, and they'd be asking, what's the deal with the hurleys? The hurling's fascinating. You know, people will ask me what it's like, and I'll say hockey, and they'll think I'm talking about field hockey. And I say, no, it's more like ice hockey. It's very skillful. And, you know, irony of ironies, as I go back, I was back home this summer, and I was and the Clare Cork game was an incredible hurling match, no question. Yeah. But I have to say, I watched the Oilers and Vancouver duke it out in the Stanley Cup, and they're two really good sports, and they're just strong, fast. At Burnaby Lake last week, the football championship finals were on in Vancouver, and I was walking along the sideline, and I saw a fella nearly fall over. He was watching it. He couldn't work out what was going on. He was asking questions. But they're very familiar sports, and Canadians watch them, but then they'll watch for a second and they'll realize it's not a sport they've seen before. And you're right. Heads turn. Hurling's so fast and so skillful that it blows people away. And then the football is Canadians love contact sport.
Yes.
So, you know, when they see the contact in the football, they're fascinated by it. But, we're encouraging the public to come out. We're getting some spots on the television and on the radio out here over the next few days. We're certainly putting it out amongst our friends and family and neighbors. And, we hope. It's a big ground. The mayor of Burnaby is a dairyman.
That's right.
He's pushing it in a big way as well. I expect Burnaby Lakes, that whole area is a sporty place. Like there's Joe Sackage Way and Christine Sinclair Gymnasium, you know. So there's sport mad in Burnaby, and there is a soccer tournament on nearby our tournament. But I can bet you we're going to have a lot of people coming over saying, what is going on over there? And it's we're really excited to showcase it and get the national. I think we'll definitely get provincial spotlight. We're hoping to get national spotlight on the CBC. And Jerome Quinn is coming out to do some media for the GA as well. So it should be awesome.
So, Ronan, you won't be streaming it, or have you been able to?
We will. There'll be some. There'll be lots on social media. There won't be streaming. I don't believe there'll be streaming live, but there certainly will be a lot on social media. But then again, I'm not the expert on that. But keep an eye out on the Facebook and the Instagram channels.
And anyone that wants to find out more, you can go to the Facebook page at CNCGAA on Facebook, and that's for the Labor weekend. Ronan, I want to thank you for taking the time. It's been brilliant, and I hope over the weekend I'm sure I'll be keeping an eye on social media and seeing what's going on. And thanks for taking the time and sharing with us, and best of luck with it.
Thank you very much, Aston. It's really exciting. Anyway, I'll leave it at that.